must unlearn what you have learned.
Hello there. Come here, my little friend. Don't be afraid.
Away with your weapon! I mean you no harm!
Kill him. Kill him now. Do it.
You failed me. I am a Jedi, like my father before.
And what's up, everybody? Welcome to Star Wars Talk this week. I am joined by my ever so lovely guest, Bob.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Oh. I'm sorry, I'm a little tired here today, so...
Yeah, he's been working.
Yeah, I might be a little more monotone. Schedule change, family stuff. I was everywhere this weekend, Justice League.
Yeah,
there's a lot
League.
Of stuff going on this weekend, so I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, he's not as young as us. but anyway, we'll be talking about Rebels, Rian Johnson's new news, basically.
Mm.
The Last Jedi, the Disney deal, and how it'll affect Star Wars. A live-action Star Wars, and Disney streaming network. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, 23 days to The Last Jedi.
And As of recording.
As of today.
Yeah.
Whenever you're hearing it. Today. The day you're listening. 23 days.
But what if it's December 15th?
23 days. You have to wait. You're not allowed to get to the theater. Now, I'm just going to start you off with a question, a what-if scenario here.
Yes.
Now... wow, that's a word. Okay. So how would the war with the CIS and the clones would have changed if they would have won the Battle of Naboo and had Amidala surrender in episode one?
How would the war have changed?
Yes.
So if Queen Amidala would have surrendered.
Yes.
So she's still alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to assume they don't kill prisoners.
Nothing.
At least political prisoners.
Yeah, Naboo would have been I can't think of the word I'm looking for. See, I'm tired. They would have.
We can't see. We can only listen.
They've been. All right, let's try this again. They would be under occupancy. That's what the word I'm looking for. And I think it wouldn't last because, again, I think the whole thing with Palpatine's plan was not necessarily to have Naboo ruled. So I think Palpatine would have done something and finagled things around a way for Naboo to be free again, unless it would have benefited him in the long run. Either way, I think the Clone Wars and everything would have ended the same way that it had, even if Naboo was under occupancy for an extended period of time. Because, I mean, they were technically under occupancy for a little while. So.
But you don't think the Gungans would have survived?
Are they occupying it prior to the deal with Nubians?
Naboo. That's Gungan, my guy.
I know. Well, because he goes Nubian.
Or Boss Nass. We're going to say Qui-Gon Jinn's dead, Obi-Wan flees, and Naboo falls.
Okay. Gungans would have died, if not all of them, most of them.
Weesa think Jar Jar will be alive.
They just their primitive weapons couldn't stand up to the droids, and again Naboo. While they had a military force, they were mostly small, compared to what the
army
the
that Sis rolled in.
Was. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's an interesting question. I know that every week you've been doing this, what if scenario type of thing. It's fun. I just think that in this case, I think no matter what, it would have, ultimately everything would have happened the same way that it had to have happened. I think the only difference would have been is if, Queen Amidala was killed and she died, things could have gone very differently because while Anakin's mother's death was what really pushed him. Protecting Padme and the fear of not being able to protect Padme was what pushed Anakin over the edge completely. So if there's no Padme, that doesn't happen. Would Palpatine have utilized Obi-Wan, which is a good possibility. He could die if you don't, whatever. So who knows, but I think that's the only big difference that we would have seen is if Amidala would have died.
No, there we go. We got a good answer, Bob. proud of you.
Thanks.
So we'll just hard segue into the Rebels. Fall finale episode. It's called The Rebel Assault, and it's basically Hera leading the rebellion, or the, well, not, are they the rebellion?
Yeah, they're the rebellion now.
Okay, they're the rebellion, so against general, Thrawn's forces.
General Hera Syndulla, because she's a general now, finally. She's whatever. Finally officially
general. You're so much further ahead in Rebels than I am.
So, the episodes prior, there was the whole thing about Kanan and Ezra and Sabine and that they were all trying to get a hold of Hera to come in, convince the rebellion to come and rescue them and help Lothal. So what actually happened in this episode is Hera was given permission to take a small force, mostly of X-Wing fighters, to Lothal on a rescue mission. They get there. They start to battle some of the Star Destroyers and some fighters that are there at the Star Destroyers, and the battle's intense. It's crazy insane. It's really, really cool. What ends up happening is Hera gets two Star Destroyers to collide and destroy each other, which I thought was really cool. But Thrawn, the entire time, he's like, oh, unfortunate, but I have another plan. So as they get past the blockade to get to Lothal, he goes, deploy the other, battalion. And right when they get into the atmospheres of Lothal, you just see hundreds of TIE fighters just swoop in, and they just destroy all the X-Wings. And they just crash. And Hera and one other pilot are the only two that seem to have survived. I think maybe another one or two survived, but they took prisoner pretty quickly. The whole time, though, them on Lothal, Ezra, Kanan, and them, they see the battle, like, oh, okay, cool, here they come, we see, and then they just see explosions and them all crashing, like, oh, crap.
They're like, there went our hope.
Exactly, pretty much. So Kanan, actually, I can't remember where Kanan's going, but Kanan's going to do something, and he's at one point driving down the highway on his speeder bike, even though he's blind, which being blind obviously doesn't hamper him at all from doing anything.
It's like real life.
Yeah, basically.
Being blind hampers nothing.
So he's like going down the freeway, and one of the Lothwolves
doesn't pay the easy pass, doesn't pay tolls at all. He just goes and blames being blind. Can't see it. Don't have to pay it.
But a Lothwolf actually just pops out in front of him, and he notices it somehow, even though he's blind, and kind of wrecks, crashes a little bit, falls off his speeder bike, and he gets up, and he walks up to it, and he's like, what do you ask of me? Like, what do you need? And it just goes, doom. And he's like, I understand.
He's like,
what? Like, what? You understand? He just said your last name. All right, so he jumps on the speeder bike, turns around, and starts heading back towards the city. So then, back in the city in Lothal, Hera's trying to find a way to
do it,
to not get captured. And she comes across another pilot who's down. She helps rescue him, and they're on the run trying to get away. Now, the really cool thing is Thrawn, a couple episodes ago, brought out his assassin. Rook is his name. Now, Rook is an assassin that was in the Thrawn trilogy. And spoiler for those who have never read the Thrawn trilogy, sorry, I mean, it's been out since 91, 92.
Oh, my God.
But
spoiler warning, 16 years in the future.
16 years, like 26 years.
Oh, my God.
But Rook is the one that actually kills Thrawn in the books because he finds out that the Empire and Thrawn and everything like destroyed his planet and his people and stuff like that. So he turns on Thrawn and kills him in the books. I don't know if that's what's going to happen here. They brought him out of Legends, brought him in here. He's an excellent character. He's actually voiced by Warwick Davis, so little Wicket, Ewok. He's the one who voices him. He's a very interesting character, and he's very he's a very formidable foe for our heroes. So Hera actually goes toe-to-toe with him, fisticuffs, and they're fighting.
Grows a mustache.
And Chopper actually has to save her at one point, and she gets away. And as they get away, they find a tunnel system that they kind of sneak out earlier in this season. They snuck out through, and they find a tunnel system, but it's, being watched by Imperial soldiers or stormtroopers. And they do a distraction. Hera does a distraction. The pilot that she helped save runs and gets there, but Hera actually gets captured. And the pilot goes into the tunnel system, and he's trying to find his way out. and he gets to another, you know, the exit of the tunnel system, and he comes up and he can't open the door. The door won't open to get out, and then whoosh, it opens up and Kanan's right there. And like, here, come on, you know, and he helps him. So a lot of people now, that's pretty much the episode. It was a decent episode. It was a little...
drawn out?
Not drawn out. It was just not what you want to see season mid-finale to be. Like, you want something to be like, what's going on?
Like Darth Maul comes back from the grave.
They did that once already. But it really went, like, I didn't feel like, man, I have to watch the next episode in June, or not June, January or February or whenever it's coming back. Like, I have no... I'm going to watch it, but there's nothing that's like, I need to watch it, you know? So there's that. I know a lot of people think that now that Hera's captured, obviously the crew is going to go and try and save her, you know, like whether it's Ezra or... I don't think it's going to be Kanan. See, a lot of people think, oh, Kanan's going to be the one that, you know, goes all for it to go rescue her. They had their final scene together. I think they're done. I don't think we're going to see the two of them together again. They had their scene. They kissed. And that was the build-up. The entire series was to that kiss. You know, will they, won't they, will they, won't they. They did. They separated. They're done. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think we're going to see the two of them together anymore. And you know, being a somebody who likes to write a lot and read, that scene is a closing scene. Like, you can foresee, like, when that kind of stuff happens in a movie or a TV show,
normally no one's coming back.
Then one of them is not coming back, you know, and that's just the way it is. And they've been alluding to the idea that Kanan is going to be gone in some way, whether he's going to die or become one with the Force or whatever it is.
Which is essentially the same thing.
There's something that's going on, and they're starting to push that way. The big question is what's going to happen with everybody else? You know, what's going to happen with Zeb? What's going to happen with Ezra? What's going to happen with Sabine? You know?
Personally, Chopper goes on to become a very successful bartender.
Chopper and Hera survive. Chopper and Hera are
in Rogue One.
They're in Rogue One, and they're also after the Battle of Endor. Because in the Forces of Destiny cartoon, there was an episode where...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There was Hera, Chopper, and Han Solo, you know?
Yeah, that makes
sense. So they were there at the end of the Battle of Endor. So we still don't know what's going to happen to Sabine, Zeb, or Ezra. I think Ezra needs to die, but is that a little too dark to kill off a teenager on a Disney Channel? You know, that might be a little too dark. So will they keep him going? Will they put him in a, you know, another portion of the galaxy? But then
I think he'll have a ride off into the sunset thing.
But here's the thing, though. Yoda knows about Ezra. All right, he knows that he's been training to be a Jedi. You know, he knows he has the Force and has the ability to be a Jedi. Don't you think he would say something to Obi-Wan in their talks? You know, don't you think so? Obi-Wan knows of Ezra. I'm sorry. Obi-Wan even knows of Ezra. He met him on Tatooine last season. So when you really think about it, all that stuff that you hear about, okay, Luke is the final Jedi. No, there is another, and they're talking about Leia. Or were they talking about Ezra? All right. So now things start to get a little interesting. No, they were talking about... We've been pretty much told that Yoda was talking about, you know... Yoda wanted to train Leia, not Luke.
Yeah.
So the other that they spoke of was obviously Leia. At least that's what we're led to believe now, or we could they could completely retcon it again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think they need to kill off Ezra. Like, I want Luke. I want, whenever I go in watching, once Rebels is over, I want to go into watching episode 4 knowing that Luke is the only one. Like, that's what I want. So hopefully they do that. I don't want them, because we're so close to Rogue One at this point. He needs to be gone. You know,
or he dies in Rogue One or something crazy.
Even that's too soon or too close to episode 4, in my opinion. Like, that really is. Like, I think he needs
because it's 5 minutes.
I think, and what would be best is, because he's been so adamant about saving Lothal, and because it's his home planet, we need to save Lothal. I think it would be very important to kill him off there.
Yeah, you know, he dies in the defense of the planet.
Exactly. You know,
that makes sense.
We know Thrawn is going to survive at least past Rogue One. The reason why we know this, spoilers, sorry people, I should have said that before I said this, but I can't remember who it was. Was it Pablo Hidalgo, maybe? I don't know. Somebody said in either a tweet or something that the man who actually voices Thrawn is Mad Mikkelsen's brother. Mm-hmm. Mad Mikkelsen played Galen Erso.
Yeah.
In Rogue One. So he voices Thrawn, and he made a comment like, it's kind of funny how his brother died in Rogue One and he's going to surpass his brother. You know, like, he made a comment like that. So we know that he's going to live past Rogue One. How much farther past Rogue One? We don't know. Well,
hopefully we get a standalone film.
I mean, is that what Dave Filoni is working on next. You know, is maybe the next show going to be in another part of the universe where Thrawn is the main threat? Like, I would love that.
Or even I guess technically antagonist, but the main focus of the story.
Yeah.
Or the main focus of the series.
So, I mean, that would be kind of cool, but. Again, that episode wasn't the best this season. However, we've only had one filler episode out of 9 episodes. We've only had one filler episode, which is pretty impressive because...
Yeah, what, it's like 8 episodes or
nine
something
9 episodes
like that.
And one filler, and I think we got 8 episodes left.
Yeah, that's not,
or
that's
seven
not bad at all.
7 or 8 episodes left.
That's good. That's good that they planned out the season like that. Like, oh, hey, we already have it written.
Yeah.
Except for, like, the final episode. Here's a filler.
Yeah. So, honestly, I think probably the best idea for you, because I know you're so far behind, let it end.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
doing.
And then just binge them.
At this point, that's what I'm doing.
Because the filler episodes, I think if you binge it, you'll get through those filler episodes a lot easier than I did.
Yeah.
Because some of those filler episodes, it's like, God, I don't want to do another one, you know?
Yeah. And it's like half a season.
Yeah.
A filler. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, phone ringing. Forgot to turn my ring off.
No, we were just plugging the remote control this week. You know, Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League. We're talking a whole bunch of Justice League this week on the remote control. Obviously, there's some other stuff that happened in the news. We'll talk about that. But really, this week, we're going to review Justice League. So if you're a fan of DC and Justice League, listen to that. If you've seen it, it's going to be full of spoilers. We're not going to hold back. We're just
going to
spoil the crap
all
out of
the
it.
Speculation around the reviews and whatnot.
Yeah. We'll talk about the reviews. We'll talk about what is going to happen with DC now that this is finally out and it's so divisive, just like the other films have been.
Yeah.
So definitely check that episode out. It'll be out. Actually, it'll probably be out before this episode. So check it out this week as well.
It's weird. This is the actual opposite recording way that we normally do. We normally do TRC first and then this.
Yeah, we're backwards because I'm tired.
Yeah, Bob's just lazy. But anyway, after that sweet hot plug, we got two titles for After Rebel Assault starting next half season. I guess we can call it half season. Allegiance and One Giant Step Ahead. As of right now, I couldn't find any descriptions on the episodes. We only have titles.
Yeah, there's nothing yet.
But what do you think it could be about?
So Allegiance and One Giant Step Ahead.
I know Allegiance is kind of like a vague title.
I could see maybe there being... Maybe this is where Rook finds out about his home planet. He joins the rebellion and maybe helps fight the Battle of Lothal. One Giant Step Ahead, I could see them maybe getting a foothold on winning the Battle of Lothal, but ultimately they're going to lose because remember the first big battle that the Rebellion won was at Scarif. It was not Lothal. Lothal was going to be lost. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. You know, so I know like I've been excited about the Battle of Lothal for quite some time and we've seen little battles here and there. I know ultimately though it's going to be lost. So yeah. I think that's what's going to happen.
So yeah, that's about all I have for Rebels. You have anything else you want to throw in there?
No, just I think it comes back in January. I know like a month or two ago I was like, it's coming back in March. That's when it's going to end. I think it's coming back in January.
So we'll move on to The Last Jedi. Me and you've just binge watched all of this TV spots. But we'll cover some stuff first. And it finally gets its rating at PG-13.
Yes.
And
I'm not surprised.
And it's going to be, 2.5 hours long?
Yeah, 2 hours, or no, 200, no, what is it? 250 minutes.
250 minutes,
is that what it is? Or 240 minutes? I can't remember. Come on, you're the Star Wars person.
Well, I'm trying to do the math here. 250 minutes? That's, what, like 4 hours? Holy crap. I'm fine with that.
No, it's not that long.
Here,
I'm looking it up right now as we talk.
Heard it here first at the remote control. A Star Wars movie. That's
It's 2 hours and 50. No, that's episode 7.
Oh my god, we are so underprepared.
Oh my goodness.
While we're taking the time here, I guess I can plug our next giveaway. So, for this build up to The Last Jedi release, which comes out, December 15th? That week of the release of The Last Jedi, we will be doing up until that week, we will be doing another pop giveaway, like similar to what we did with Superman and the Justice League. We will be giving away a GameStop exclusive Leia on a speeder bike pop figure for the giveaway or for the release of The Last Jedi. It's going to be kind of similar to what we did. You know, leave us a review on iTunes, join the group on Facebook, you know, promote, help promote us. We'll enter you to win a free thing. It's pretty much it. If you are reading the description for the podcast, I'll just leave it in the podcast description. But yeah, interesting to give another giveaway. So as I was reading, doing that, Bob found out 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
that's
how long it'll 2.5 hours. 150 minutes. Or 250 minutes. 150 minutes.
150 or 250 minutes. I'm fine with it, too.
It's the longest of all of the Star Wars movies.
That kind of surprises me.
Revenge of the Sith was the longest prior to that, with I think it was an hour and like 26 minutes or something, I think, is what it was, or an hour and 20 minutes.
Was that it?
Or not an hour. 2 hours and 2 hours and 20. Jeez, what am I thinking? 2 hours and 20 minutes.
I was going to say, that's like...
I'm terrible today. I'm sorry.
That's like up until where Anakin betrayed, like, turned Star Wars.
You guys can yell at me. I'm sorry.
We're yelling at you. So we'll just talk about the Rey getting... the red treatment in her and one of the new posters that were released with Rey being the red character.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything. It's a gimmick. It's all about, you know, deceiving and misdirection and everything like that. A lot of people have been talking about how it's like definitely going to, one of these things is definitely true. Obviously one of these things will be true.
One of these things is not like the other either.
I don't see that. I don't think that's going to be the case there. I don't think she's turning evil.
Really?
I don't.
What do you think she's going to do?
I think she's going to struggle with the idea. But like I said, I truly believe, while everything that's been going on is leading us to believe that Rey is the central figure of this mm-hmm. trilogy, which she is. She's the central figure. I think the turn is going to be the complete opposite of the prequels, and we're going to see Kylo Ren turn to the good. We're not going to see Rey turn evil. I think we're going to see Kylo Ren turn to the good, which is the complete opposite of what Anakin did in the prequel trilogy. That's what I see happening.
So do you think it's going to happen like Darth Vader episode 6 style, where he's like dying, but right before he dies, he makes the transition?
No, because I don't think Kylo's going to die. I think Kylo's going to continue on after this trilogy.
I think he's going to become like Darth Vader. I think he's going to get what he wants. And he's going to hate it. I think he's going to become more machine than man, and he's going to hate it.
Maybe.
Because that's what he wanted. Well, he wants to be like his grandfather is most
he wants
best
to,
he can.
I mean, he wants to complete what his grandfather finished. He doesn't want to become Vader. He wants to complete what he started.
Well, yeah, the suit. It was a poopy suit. Now he's trying to fix the suit and make
the
it a better
suit. The
suit
was Palpatine, though. That was not Vader. Palpatine created that so he could control him. There were mechanisms within the suit that hampered Anakin's power, and also there were fail-safes, so that way if Vader ever wanted to turn on Palpatine, Palpatine could activate the fail-safe and basically kill Anakin like that. So it was all it was all Palpatine, not Vader.
I thought you were totally getting your names wrong there. That's why I was like, no, yep, you're right. Like, my brain was like Darth Vader's Luke Skywalker. So on to the next poster, the Dolby Cinema exclusive poster.
That one is the best looking poster that they have released yet. That should be the actual film poster.
It's
good.
So smexy.
Yeah, it is the best looking picture. I love the official movie poster. I think it's a great poster, but that one is even better. And it's the same color. The coloring is the same. Mm-hmm. It's just...
It looks way...
It reminds me more of a Star Wars poster than the official one. Episode 7's poster, official movie poster, was meh. It was good. It wasn't great.
It was misleading with Rey.
This poster, episode 8 poster, it's good. It's really good, but this is just better. I mean, it's just that much better.
I do like it. I like that Rogue One that I showed you before we started.
Oh, yeah.
That limited edition one. That one looks really good. I can't remember who the artist was to plug it. It's a limited time poster. So which one do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about the TV spots, or you want to talk about the Entertainment Weekly covers?
Entertainment Weekly covers we can do really quick. I don't think there's much with them. I mean
you just see...
The thing that I liked the most out of the Entertainment Weekly covers was the...
Luke and Leia.
Just because it makes me hope so much that we see them together on screen. Because if we don't, we're never going to.
Yeah.
And I want to see that more than anything else. You know, we didn't get Han and Luke, so I at least want Luke and Leia.
Finn and Rose.
Finn and Rose.
Kylo and Rey.
Luke and Leia. Poe with
I can't remember who he was with. He had BB-8 was there. I
can't remember her name. Laura Dern's character. I can't remember what her name is.
Yeah, but... her. Yeah, no, it was... We're struggling here on this week, but... So, let's move on to the TV spots, Bob.
Okie dokie.
I know you said that yours was... your two favorite were 7 and 10. There's what, like 12?
10. I only saw 10.
10, whatever. Each of them focus around a certain character.
Essentially, I mean, yes and no. That more so, there's most of them are centered around Ray.
Yeah.
A lot of the TV spots, I feel, were pretty much the same type of idea of, you know, Ray talking about the light and the dark. The thing that I liked most about 7 and 10 was the 7th spot and the 10th spot was Luke's interactions in this.
Yes.
I've waited myself... What was it? 1996 was the last time that I saw Luke technically say a word in Star Wars. You know, like, obviously, yeah. I've rewatched Star Wars how many times since then, but, you know, the last, like, the first time I saw Return of the Jedi was, like, 95, 96.
And... I mean, if you want to get technical, him as a baby does cry in episode 3. If you want to get technical.
But, you know, yes, I've seen other TV spots where he said things, but... This here, like these two TV spots, just it's something like when he's starting to talk and he's talking to Rey and he's, you know, telling her, like, what are you asking her? What do you see? What do you feel? That kind of stuff. I'm just like, oh shit. Like this looks like it's going to be an intense scene, and that's what I want to see. And both of those TV spots do that for me, like, really well. There's another TV spot. I don't remember which TV spot number it is because there's 10 of them, but there's the one that's really Poe focused, and this is probably my third favorite one because, you know, there's a moment where he
put the lid on your bottle so you could get it accurately described.
But
Bob made a bottle rocket. Or bottle X-wing, sorry, and was flying it around like in the new TV scene.
But yeah, I mean, he looks at Leia and he's like, permission to blow stuff up, and she looks at him like, permission granted. And then it's this awesome scene of him flying through an explosion and then just doing this crazy feat with his X-wing to turn it around, and he goes the other way.
He puts the e-brake on,
and it's something we've never seen in Star Wars before. We've never seen anybody pilot a fighter like that, and. I personally would have preferred to see it on the screen. Like, if I would not have seen a TV spot and then saw it at the theater, I would have been like, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap, it's so cool. But, you know, now that I saw it here, I'm going to be expecting it.
It's still not going to really take away from it. That's something to
because
see.
Because the scene is probably really cool. Like, there's probably some crazy fight going on. And he's like
X-Wings are just doing cartwheels and stuff. And...
Something crazy is going to happen.
Kylo's doing the running man in a Sky Fighter and stuff like that.
But check out the TV spots. You can find them all on YouTube. I think you found them on Star Wars News Net, right?
Yeah, but it's easier to go on YouTube. Yeah. It takes way less to load, and there's probably one giant thread of a playlist of them on YouTube.
So they're definitely excellent. If you're somebody who wants to stay clear from seeing stuff, I'd say don't watch these.
Don't do it.
I'm not saying that there's any spoilers, but it definitely you see more than you've seen in the other trailers that have come out. Yeah. So.
Especially between Luke and Leia. Yeah. Like, what,
Luke
10?
And Rey.
Sorry. especially 10.
Yeah.
What is it? Run away from it? Or
something, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. We just watched them and we're both those fried already.
Yeah, resist it.
Yeah, resist it. And he's like screaming at her.
Yeah, because she talks about in it. Sorry, spoilers, but she talks about seeing the light and the darkness.
And then there's something else.
And then there's something else. And Luke like tells her, like, resist it, Rey. And like, whoa.
And then he's like, right. It's like, oh my God, he's going to go Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to see that crossover. So I'll talk about this for a bit. It's not really going to affect Star Wars too much. But the... Fox and Disney talks. I know this is last week's news, but we haven't done a Star Wars talk in like 2 weeks. Basically, the only thing I will come out of the deal is Disney acquiring A New Hope's distributing rights.
That's all. That
nothing.
Really
nothing's
out.
Really going to come from it.
And it doesn't really like Fox. The way everything's worked out now with Fox and Disney, it's just kind of like a little hiccup with what they have to deal with.
It's an extra step.
It doesn't hurt them at all because Fox gets their money, Disney gets their money, they're happy. And, that's pretty much all it is. Like there's no reason Disney's going to try and buy Fox just for that. It's really for other stuff, their streaming service and the Marvel properties and stuff like that. So If you see, you know, people trying to convince you, oh, it's for Star Wars, it isn't.
Yeah, it's more of a Marvel thing.
Yeah,
than anything else.
Honestly, it's more of the streaming than anything else. So yeah, just to get more stuff for their streaming service.
But if you want to hear more on that, we talked about it last week on.
And there's going to be a good bit on this week's Remote Control also, because there's a lot of stuff going on with Sony now being involved. So
Spider-Man. So we'll hop into this because there's a lot to talk about with this one. Rian Johnson's standalone trilogy. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so it was announced what was it? The Star Wars show. It was announced. Was it in the Star Wars show?
I don't know. So. I have a statement from Star Wars.
But yeah, this is almost 2 weeks ago now. It's been a while. But you know, they announced that Rian Johnson is going to be creating and directing
his own trilogy.
His own trilogy. Now he's only directing and writing the first installment, though. They said he's going to help develop a new trilogy, but write and direct the first.
I'm sure
film.
They're gonna gauge on how it does.
I wouldn't be surprised if he write directs the first and write and directs the third.
Yeah,
you have to give him a little break between there. But everybody was all like, "Oh crap, he's not doing the ninth movie. Why not?" And then they were like, "Well, he wanted to take a break. This is why he didn't direct episode 9."
Because episode 9 is going to be his break before he starts this crap.
Not even that. I think he's already into it. Like, I think because. He may not be into it right now. He may have taken a break from it because right now that promoting for episode 8 is
he's going
is
cross,
full steam
cross
ahead.
The world.
But I would not be surprised if starting January sometime, first week or two of January, he's sitting there writing.
Yeah. And we get a couple hints.
What's the statement before we get further into it?
It's out reading voice. Lucasfilm is excited to announce that Johnson will create a brand new Star Wars trilogy. The first of which he is also set to write and direct, with longtime collaborator Ram Bergman on board to produce. As writer-director of The Last Jedi, Johnson conceived and realized a powerful film of which Lucasfilm and Disney are immensely proud. In shepherding this new trilogy, which is separate from the episodic Skywalker saga, Johnson will introduce new characters from a corner of the galaxy that Star Wars lore has never before explored. We all loved working with Rian on Last Jedi, said Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm. He's a creative force, and watching him craft The Last Jedi from start to finish was one of the great joys of my career. Rian Johnson will do amazing things with the blank canvas of this new trilogy. We had the time of our lives collaborating with Lucasfilm and Disney on The Last Jedi, Johnson and Bergman said in a joint statement. Star Wars is the greatest modern mythology, and we feel very lucky to have contributed to it. We can't wait to continue with the new series of films.
Yeah.
I don't know why you covered your mic to inhale.
I'm excited.
Where do you think it'll take place?
All right.
I know you're going to be biased because I kind of am rooting for it too, but...
I'm not biased. I'm thinking logically here. So, Rian Johnson wrote episode 8.
Yes.
Now,
that's correct.
From the previews, from the trailers, what we've gotten so far, it looks like we're going to have a lot of connection to what the original Jedi were, like where their training, where their learnings came from, things
like
that.
The first Jedis.
The
mythology of it.
Yeah, the mythology, everything like that. That's what we're going to be learning a good bit about in episode 8, I think. Much like George Lucas did with episodes 4, 5, and 6, where he wrote, he didn't write the movies as they were, but he wrote down ideas. Like,
he wrote the outline.
So here is Anakin Skywalker. This is what happened to Anakin Skywalker. This was Obi-Wan Kenobi. This was the Clone Wars. This is what happened. This stuff happened before episode 4, 5, and 6. And those eventually became the prequels. Again, it was probably outlines. It probably wasn't verbatim on how it turned out at the time back in the 70s, but he had an idea that he shelved until he went back to it. I think Johnson probably did the same thing here. He's making episode 8, and he had to create this mythology that, yes, there's a good bit of it out there. Mm-hmm. Most of it got pushed to Legends, though.
Yeah.
So he had free will almost to pull from Legends if you wanted to, create something new, work with the story group to really just make it something that is very intriguing and interesting and fun. So he had to have. I honestly believe that this story is going to go back, and I know everybody's saying, oh, Old Republic, Old Republic.
You want before Old Republic.
It may be before Old Republic, but I think it's going to go because they specifically state that to a corner of the galaxy with new characters that they've never explored before. Mm. Before, ever before. Old Republic, they've explored. You know, Lucasfilm has explored it in books and in video games.
Not even to mention that Bane is canon.
Bane is canon.
Revan was going to be canon too, but...
I honestly believe this is going to be something that no one's expecting. I think it's, yes, it's going to be an Old Republic-esque type of film that series that takes place long time ago.
Billions of years.
But I think it's going to be about new Jedi on how the Jedi
The ancient began, Sith Wars.
How the Jedi began and how they got to being who they were. I think I was listening, what was I listening to? I want to say it was Rebel Force Radio. And there was a caller, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, he probably doesn't even listen to our podcast, but but if he does, you know, I think it was an excellent call because he connected the Jedi to Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And it's really smart to think that way because Catholicism changed over time and it became much farther away from what it was truly supposed to be about, you know, Christianity and everything like that. They created and changed and made different mm-hmm. things in the Bible and made new roles that were never there. It's not hard to believe that the Jedi did the same thing. They had the Book of the Wills and they were following that, and then they're like, well, we're going to change it so it fits us better, and the Book of the Wills got forgotten. The original book got forgotten. And I think that's, you can kind of put the two together like that.
The transition. Similarities.
And it would be cool if they explored something like that. Because everybody wants a Jedi. You know, yeah, everybody loved Rogue One. Rogue One was fine. You still got a lightsaber in it. You know, at the very end, you had Darth Vader tearing shit up. You know, a Han Solo film, still, we don't know if we're going to see any lightsabers. We don't know if we're going to see any Jedi or anything like that or Sith. Who knows what we're going to see in that movie, but... I think that's the real test for people. If we don't see any Force abilities at all in mm-hmm. Han Solo, how are people going to react? Because that'll be the first Star Wars movie with nothing with the Force in it. Mm-hmm. Why would they add the Force? Because that would go against what Han Solo has always said is, you know, I've seen a lot of things in this galaxy, you know, but nothing that makes me believe there's an all-powerful Force. Like he says that in Episode 4. So if we're having a story about Han Solo, we're not going to see the Force in that movie or anything. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with that film and see how people react, because if they react negatively, then I think very quickly they're going to say, well, this is what this trilogy is about.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah!
Yeah, finally Star Wars being Star Wars.
So, but that's my belief. I know at first I was like, Old Republic. But I think this is going to go further. I think this is going to be something completely different that we've never seen before, something that's going to expand on the mythology, like you were saying, of Jedi and even Sith, possibly. You know, we don't know how the Sith started. We don't know how the Jedi started. Like, what if they were like, you could take an idea and...
Boy, you really don't read Legends, D.
Here's the thing. No, I've read Legends. But it's not canon anymore, so it's out of my mind. And I know a lot of people will come at me about that, so come at me. But I honestly don't consider what's Legends canon. So when we sit here and say from what is currently canon, we don't know where Jedi came from. We don't know where the Sith came from. So like when you really think about it now, like, okay, they could do a story where, okay, you have the first Jedi and the first Sith, and maybe there were brothers or something like that, and you know they went separate ways. It's a dumb idea, I know, but I'm just saying they could do something like that, and I think that's where we're gonna go. I think we're gonna go to the beginning of the Jedi.
I like it. I can see it. When do you think it'll come out? I mean, I'm not expecting anything earlier than like 2021.
2020.
That's when you're giving it.
This is what I'm saying. Take that back. Wait. 2019 is episode 9. 2020. My opinion, 2020 is going to be Obi-Wan and the first one of the new trilogy.
So 2020?
2020, because I think 2020 is when you're going to start two Star Wars a year. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
Okay. No, I mean, that gives them plenty enough time to do anything they need.
And I think they would be dumb. Star Wars or Lucasfilm should do everything in their power to go to Rian Johnson and be like, all right, here's the deal, man. All right, you want to do a trilogy. you want to do this? I know it's tiresome. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. But how about this? Here's some extra money. Write all three. Shoot all three back to back to back.
Yep.
Just get them done. Just like Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings. Just get them done. Boom, boom, boom. And they can release 20, 21, 22. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Right in a row with having standalones in those years as well. That's what they should do.
I don't understand why people that do trilogies don't do that in the first place.
I understand why they didn't for this current trilogy, because they still weren't really sure what they're doing. They had the story group. They had J.J. Abrams. They brought Rian Johnson in at the time, Colin Trevorrow. So it wasn't one person. Rian Johnson is developing this trilogy. All right, he's developing the story. Just tell him to develop the whole damn thing and direct the whole thing. Like, why not? Just throw him a bunch of money. If Last Jedi is really as good as they're saying, because they wouldn't have done this if The Last Jedi isn't good. Yeah. So if it's really that good, why not just say, look, you've been in Star Wars this long already, you know, for the last 2 years, you know, instead of just putting another 2 years, why don't you just add a year, year and a half, do 4 years at the most of Star Wars. Here's your $40 million.
Yeah.
And peace out, you know? Yeah.
Come back if you want to do another one.
Exactly.
or do standalones.
I mean, I honestly, this sounds really weird, but there was a time when I felt that they were going to do this with J.J. Abrams. There was a time when, like, because of how good The Force Awakens did, I felt like, okay, I think at one point J.J. Abrams will be back and he may create, whether it's a saga or something, you know, like, yeah. I had this feeling he would be back, not in this trilogy, but in something else. It may still happen, but since it didn't happen with Abrams, because they loved Episode 7, fans loved Episode 7, how good is The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
If they've done this already? The movie's not even out yet, you know, so I'm just excited. I think it's more Star Wars. I'll take it all. Just keep giving it to me.
Okay, so I'm not even going to ask you the next one because you just answered it. Your expectations for it.
No, my expectations for it, I think, is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of that does hinge on how I feel about The Last Jedi. You know, going in 23 days to see The Last Jedi, if I walk out of there like, meh.
23? It might be 22 for us. We're seeing it the day before.
But when I walk out of the theater, if I'm just like, huh, it was all right, then I'm not going to be as excited for the Rian Johnson trilogy. Mm. But if it's phenomenal, if it's like, yeah, then I'm going to be like, all right, they need to do what I said, film all three back to back to back and release them tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, that's how, like, I'm going to feel. So.
Why they didn't do it now, I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's about all I have for that. I mean, you've covered, you talked a good bit about that.
I've been thinking about it for the last 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, I know, I let you sit on it. I let you sit on it. So Disney is planning a live-action Star Wars series on their new streaming service. Well, on their streaming service. Huh?
Let me see that.
See what, this?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just putting time marks on it.
That's fine.
But they're planning their new live-action series to start with their streaming service, which isn't set to come out till 2019. What do you think it would be about?
There's so many things that are going around. Other Star Wars podcasts are speculating that it's the TV show that George Lucas was developing before he sold everything.
It's the Star Wars Holiday Special Part 2.
No, he was developing a TV show. They had 50 scripts done.
Holy crap.
The problem is they just couldn't. The technology wasn't there yet to be cheap to do it as TV, because he wanted it to feel like the movies. He didn't want to holiday specialize it. Yeah. You know, like, he wanted it to feel like you're just watching a movie, and, you know, a movie costs, you know, $200-300 million.
And you can't do that per episode.
Unless you're Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
you know?
Honestly.
So that's the problem, you know. That's where they got stuck there, and it kinda got shelved, and they were working on the technology trying to make it more feasible. So when he sold Lucasfilm, guess who got that? You know, Disney. Disney got those things. And when that happened, that disappeared. Like, we didn't hear about it anymore after Disney bought Lucasfilm. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was, the video games started going away, and one of the video games called 1313 mm-hmm. was supposed to be somewhat connected to this Star Wars show, tentatively called Underground.
Yeah.
The TV show. And they were supposed to be connected in some form or fashion, and When that got axed, then everyone's like, okay, well, then everything's done. So a lot of people think that this is what that's going to be. They think it's going to be this underground show that has, you know, had 50 scripts. It could have more now if they're working on it. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I mean, a lot of people want the Old Republic. I think the Old Republic would benefit better from a TV show than three movies.
Or even one movie and then a coinciding TV series.
Something, yeah.
Because there's too much to cover there.
My worry is they're going to do what George Lucas didn't want to have happen. They're going to TVize it. Mm-hmm. What I mean is it's going to be cheaper effects. You know, watch something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, while, yes, it's connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there are times when it doesn't feel that way because the special effects just aren't up to par.
Yeah, they throw plastic rockets on one.
Yeah, so that's kind of annoying. I don't want to see that happen to Star Wars. I think Star Wars has to have a level of believability, because even you can sit there and say, look, you know, the original trilogy doesn't hold up. I think the original trilogy holds up very well. I'm not saying it's perfect.
I can see the clipping of the scenes when the lightsabers turn on.
I mean, there's different things you can see that you know, it doesn't hold up, but for the most part, I think it does. You know, those practical effects they use, the puppets, they look phenomenal. Oh, yeah. You know, and
as compared to episode one's Yoda.
Exactly. So when you look at that kind of stuff and think about it, Star Wars, I think you need there's a higher bar that Star Wars has to meet when it comes to special effects and stuff. So that has to continue over into a live action TV show. So that's the only thing I'm really worried about it. I don't care where it's at, if it's underground, if it's Old Republic, if it's between episode 6 and 7, if it's between episode 4 and 5, wherever they take this show, I'm going to watch it. So
I had this thought when I was typing this out that it could focus around Plagueis and Palpatine's relationship.
That would be kind of cool, but
it's not really a movie type relationship, but it could also be a season. It could just be a side story.
Here's another thing that you have to consider, and this is something that who knows how they're going to handle it. This is a Disney streaming service. It's not Lucasfilm. It's Disney. Now, what is Disney? Disney is a family-friendly company. Yes, they make PG-13 movies, but they have one thing that they really don't do is R. They don't do R. Now, you can sit there and say, oh, The Punisher on Netflix or Daredevil on Netflix.
That's Netflix.
That's pretty hard. Like, you know, that if that was a movie, it would be R. I agree. But they haven't done it yet in movies with the Disney name or the Lucasfilm name. They haven't done an R. Yeah, they made other companies, you know, and Touchstone, I think was it Touchstone or maybe not Touchstone, I don't remember. But they made another company and they had some R-rated movies. That's what they would do, but they don't have those anymore. So now you have to decide, or they have to decide, are they going to go... I'm not saying that a Star Wars show has to be rated R.
Yeah.
But it needs
but it's
going to
gonna touch on some
It needs to be
things.
A little harder edged, and even at PG-13, it's going to be on a Disney streaming service. Remember, that's a Disney streaming service where a lot of kids will have access to it because of their, you know, I don't even know what Disney shows are on today, but...
You know, isn't that sad?
You know, I mean, I can't think of it, but for instance, they announced a High School Musical show that they're going to put on there, okay? So kids are going to go on there to watch a High School Musical show.
Stumble across Palpatine electrocuting people.
But again, I mean, it's it's stuff like that, you know. And there are parents out there who look at their kids at the age of 8 or 9 and say, you know what, you're not ready for Star Wars yet. And I don't think that's wrong, because, you know, I've had my kids watch them and they don't understand it. They like it. They like the lightsabers. They like the flashy lights and stuff like that.
But they don't understand the deeper meanings of the film.
Yeah, and, you know, they have watched episode 3 one time. And when they got bored with it, I said, you know what? I'm not going to make them watch it until they're older and they can appreciate it. Yeah, when I'm watching it, they'll catch it. My kids love episode 7, but episode 7 isn't that bad.
It's more of a toned-down film compared to episode 3.
Here's the thing. Star Wars, I've always looked at being... it's really for teenagers, young teens. You know, while we're in our adulthood, 20s and 30s, and we love Star Wars, you got to remember that George Lucas made this for teenagers, you know, and kids. So while we're growing up, we want something harder, you know, that's a little more edgy, but they may go the route with the TV show where it's not edgier, where it's kind of, you know, it might be about BB-8 just rolling around for 2 hours fighting off porgs. Who knows?
That I would be fully interested in. You know what? Take out the BB-8. Let's just see porgs fighting. I want some, like, chicken fights, but they're porgs. And you see, like, Boba Fett and, like, Forlorn poking them and shocking them, and they're just fighting to the death. I can get behind
okay,
that.
Now that's going to the hard R there. You don't want to go that route.
But I want to see it. It's in my brain now. Just poor come out with, like, shells wrapped around his body and a knife, like, strapped to his head. He's just stabbing while he's screeching. That would be awesome.
Jeez.
YouTube, do this for me, please. Not that I don't disagree with you, though, on the whole edgier subject. I think that there will more than likely be probably a mature, not like a mature section. Menu, but yeah. There will be.
I mean, when you then think about it, you know, they were trying to purchase 21st Century Fox, which would get them possibly The Simpsons and Sons of Anarchy and stuff like that. And they would get that stuff. Why wouldn't they put some of their biggest shows that are a little edgier on there to get people to watch? I mean, it's not much different than Netflix. You know,
I was going to say, or is it going to be set up like Netflix where you can have a kid's account and then you have like your account?
And yeah, that's possible that they could do that. You know, I mean, why not? So I just, that's my worry because of being Disney. You know, remember, they can look and see what has worked for Netflix and what hasn't. And they can adapt.
All the damn exclusives.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they announced two exclusives, High School Musical and Star Wars. So
then you got to also take it with, they've released Stranger Things and what was the other one?
House of Cards.
What, 13 Reasons?
Something Why.
Like that. Yeah. So, I mean, it works, but think about it. Over half of their stuff now is original content.
Not over half, but a large portion of it is. And they Netflix goal is to have something. I think their current goal is to have something original, something new once a week.
And which, then I commend them. Like,
I think they're pushing. They want to have it where it's multiple times a week, and I think they're pretty close to every week having something now. So
I mean, I like the idea of now they're trying from, hey, we got everybody's attention, to, hey, we're trying to become a network.
Yeah.
And I mean, they caught lightning in a bottle, what, three times?
Yeah, so four times. Yeah.
So they can do it again. Not even to mention that they're not pulled, like, they could potentially still have all the Marvel stuff. And
yeah, I mean, that whole thing, we'll get into that again at some point on TRC. But
yeah, we kind of stumbled away from Star Wars with that one.
Yeah,
but
I mean, they're going to have Marvel for an extended period of time. They have a contract with Disney and Marvel, so those shows aren't going anywhere until that contract is up. The reason why Netflix or Marvel or Disney haven't released the specifics on that contract is beyond me. Like, just say, look, we have this contract till then. Netflix has it till then. That'll make people happy because everybody's questioning it. But we'll get into it at another point.
So I know that you finished Battlefront. Have you finished Battlefront
2? I have finished Battlefront 2, the storyline.
How, give us a review on it.
Do you want spoilers or no spoilers?
Because I know I haven't played the game yet. You can spoil it. It's been out long enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's been half a week, and it's only 4 hours of gameplay. Yeah. Like, it's not that long. And here's the thing.
I will ask you this. Is it a satisfying 4 hours, or is it like a, it was enjoyable, or is it like a, I could have gone without playing 4 hours?
I wanted more. I enjoyed it. I like the characters. Iden Versio, I think, is an excellent character. I think she brings a lot to the Star Wars universe. I am disappointed. Again, this is spoilers, so if you haven't played it, if you don't want to know...
Spoiler warning.
But I will say this. They were pushing the marketing for this game the entire time as you're going to play as a stormtrooper, an advanced stormtrooper, you know, squadron.
Like, essentially a Green Beret.
Yeah. That switches within the first hour and a half. Something happens and you switch teams, essentially. So then you become part of the rebellion.
That tends to happen a lot in the Star Wars games.
And I understand the idea behind it, but don't market it as you're going to play as a stormtrooper.
And you're not really a stormtrooper.
Yeah, because you get four missions that way. And even the final mission as a stormtrooper isn't really you as a stormtrooper, because you are, but you're not, because you're going against orders. So it's a good game.
I did like the opening mission. I mean, we could have went without the whole probe thing, but
yeah, I mean, there's.
But the first mission did look fun. Even the Endor mission was fun.
Yeah. Look, my problem is this: the first, I think, three missions are pretty much straightforward first-person shooter. Mm-hmm. After that,
Or third-person,
yeah. The majority then after that is you play a mission on as first person, and you play a flight mission, and you play first person and a flight mission, and it goes back and forth. Now, they also have missions where you get to play as heroes. So there's a mission where you get to play Luke Skywalker. That story intrigued me more than anything else in this whole game, because I looked at that, and you're playing as Luke Skywalker, and you're on this planet. I can't remember what it's called, Piri or Pirai or something like that. And Luke is looking for something. Something is calling to him on this planet. Now, at the same time, as you're Luke, one of the main characters of the other part of the game, of the Stormtroopers, one of them is actually on that planet as well, because he was sent on a mission to destroy a vault that Palpatine had. So he's going to destroy a vault, which ultimately, that's where Luke is being pulled to. He gets there, and he finds a compass. And he goes, hey, I'd like to keep this. And he's like, I've been told to destroy everything. Now, the two of them kind of buddied up a little bit in that mission, because the Stormtrooper, his name is Hex or something like that, he almost dies. Like, he's captured, he's stuck. And he's like, help, help. And Luke comes, and he's like, I know you. And Luke, whoosh, you know, uses a lightsaber, frees him from where he's stuck. And he's like, why'd you help me? And Luke is like, well, because you asked.
Yeah,
and he's like, what about all my, my buddies in the, you know, from the Empire? He's like,
They didn't ask.
You know, they didn't give me a reason not to kill them. They made me, they forced me to kill him. So you start to see this relationship build, and he starts to have this like little doubt, like, you know, I was told stories about you, Luke Skywalker, and the Jedi, and how evil they were. I had nightmares of Jedi when I was a kid. And Luke's like, well, you were worried about the wrong stories and the wrong people.
Yeah, here in reality, I'm not that bad of a guy.
Yeah.
I donate weekly.
So, you know, like that relationship started there, which is cool. But so once they get to the vault, and Luke is like, you know, look, can I have this compass? He's like, well, I was sent here to destroy this vault. And he's like, why should I give it to you? Or why should I let you have it? And Luke goes, because I asked. And he's like, oh. He's all right, like, well, see ya.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, go ahead. And Luke leaves. And then that's the last you see of Luke. And it was really cool. It was interesting. And like I said,
because they don't tell you anything about
anything. The compass. And you really believe now that the compass, and I believe, is that's the first part to him finding the first Jedi temple and everything like that. And which brings us to The Last Jedi and Force Awakens. So that was really cool. There's a mission where you play as Leia. And I think this mission was really cool. However, it could have been better if they would have made more references, because the actual battle takes place on Naboo. Ooh. So Leia is on Naboo, and I got this, like, right whenever I saw it was Leia and we were on Naboo, I was like, I got this funny feeling. I was like...
Are we going to see Padme?
We wouldn't see Padme because she's dead.
No, but, I meant, like, her tomb.
Yeah, but I was like, this is where her mom was. Her mom was queen here. Like, I'm like freaking out. Like, this is awesome.
You're like the references.
And she makes a reference to the queen. Because there's a weapon that they installed in the city of Theed for when they're being attacked. And what it was it was like an EMP that would shut down all the droids if they ever got attacked by droids again. Well, obviously they're not being attacked by droids, but the stormtroopers have weapons. So we had to fight our way to get into the throne room of the city and close the doors and set off this EMP, which shut down all the weapons and vehicles of the Empire, and you win the battle that way. So it was kind of cool, because she goes, the queen, you know, made sure that this would never happen again. And you're like, is she talking about her mom? You know?
She's like, ah!
So I just wish there was more reference or something that would have been like, you know, the queen was my mother. Like, if she's like somehow knows, like, because do they know who their mom was, you know?
And that's a side we'd never explore ever.
Yeah, because we know at this point they know that Vader was their father.
Yeah.
But do they know who their mother was? Because that's something I would love to see, like a story where they talk about their mother and stuff like that. So that was a cool mission. Then there's a mission where you're Lando Calrissian, which I thought was really weak. I think it was probably the weakest hero mission out of them all. You're in an AT-AT factory, and it's not as cool as you would think. So
you have my attention.
But yeah, that's about all that happens there. There's a Han Solo mission, which is cool. Somewhat, he has a big beard.
Yeah, like Grizzly Adams' beard,
not like or... big beard, like, kind of like your beard. But he
so has Grizzly Adams now.
But it's interesting because it's cool that they had the beard. Because this mission leads directly into his story arc in the Aftermath series, which in the Aftermath series, his whole mission was to go and rescue Kashyyyk. You know, he promised Chewbacca that they would save Kashyyyk and get the Empire out of there. And he's on Takodana, Maz Kanata's castle, where that's at. He's there to meet with somebody who left the Imperial military and has information that can help them rescue Wookiees and everything on Kashyyyk. So that's why he's there. So it's a really cool tie into the books, because I read those books. I thought they were excellent. Again, I would love to see what they go, you know, where they go with that, if there's something that we see further on. And then you see Maz Kanata as well. You get to run around her whole castle, which is kind of cool. So you see a lot of areas you didn't see in the movie. What else is there? There's a mission at the very end where you play as Kylo Ren. Now, the way the story works is it builds all the way up. And the main story is about Iden Versio's father, who is an Imperial officer, like a high-ranking Imperial officer. He's trying to push the military and save the Empire. Now, there is a protocol where Palpatine left messages on certain things that had to be accomplished to succeed and have the Empire continue forward. So General, I think it's General or Admiral Versio, whatever his name is, he's trying to fulfill these. His daughter refuses to at one point, and that's why she becomes a rebel, rebel soldier.
And a traitor.
And a traitor, and now she's trying to defeat her father, and that's kind of the overarching story of everything. Now, she does have a partner, because the group that she was with was her, this partner, Hax, or Hex, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry.
Hax.
And there was was it Hax?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Look it up for me. And then there was another guy as well. Now, this other guy, he stays with the Rebellion, but her and Hax or whatever, they leave, or he stays with the Imperial, and they leave for the Rebellion. So their story kind of goes forward, and they stay as a team and go forward through the story the entire time. And you can see that they have like a very good relationship together. So as their story is going on, you make your way all the way to the Battle of Jakku. And this is probably one of my favorite aspects of the game, is you finally get to fight in the Battle of Jakku. So you're seeing things happening in front of you and how Jakku became the way it looked.
Was it cool?
It was really badass. And again, it's, you know, that was the final big battle. That's where the Empire lost. That was the Battle of Jakku. So
Hask,
thank you.
And Miko.
Hask, yeah. So Hask and Versio are like really working together for everything. And after the Battle of Jakku, there's a moment where they kiss, and you're like, oh, that's adorable. They kissed, you know, because they're something. They're an item, you know, that kind of thing. And then it jumps up. Many years later, just as many years later, and they go back to that. I think it's back to the planet that Luke was on, you know, where he found the compass. And you see a very familiar ship, Kylo Ren's ship, coming in to picture and going into the planet. And Kylo Ren comes walking out, and they're talking to another character. And they walk aboard the ship, your main home ship of the game. And who's on there but Hask? Hask is on there, and he's captured. And Kylo Ren's like, you know, Where's Luke Skywalker? You know, and he's trying to get the information. Or where's the map to Luke Skywalker? No, I'm sorry. He asked where Lors von Santeca. Where's Lors Santeca? Because remember, in Episode 7, Kylo Ren shows up to Jakku with Lors Santeca and gets, you know, is trying to get the map and everything from him. So this is directly leading into Episode 7. This moment here, and it's a really cool scene, because he uses the mind thing where he takes Hask and, you know, using the Force to go into his mind. However, you get to play that.
Yeah.
So you go into his mind, and you're running through his mind with your lightsaber, killing stormtroopers, rebels, and
anything
stuff like
that moves.
Pretty much, and you're just running through and trying to find the clues that'll lead you to where you need to go.
That's interesting.
And it's like real trippy, because it's all dreamlike and everything. So it's pretty cool. At the end of that, you know, you pretty much, that's it. Like, that's pretty much the storyline. It's like I said, it's about 4 hours long.
So it was nothing more than like a prequel to Episode 7.
Exactly. Now, they are going to have downloadable content. Actually, the first is, I think, December 13th. I think that's when the first...
I don't know.
That's when the first thing comes out. And again, it's free, but it's going to add story. It's going, and that's what they're doing. Like,
because they're waiting. Isn't it like going to tie into The Last Jedi or something?
I think
like
it's
that?
No. I think it's going to be more. I think it's going to reveal a little more backstory on getting to The Force Awakens again. Mm-hmm. But I love this idea because a lot of companies, they come out with these games and they're like, "Here's our 4-hour story," and then they walk away from it.
Call of Duty.
They're actually like, "Here's four hours of story, and we're going to give you another hour, and we'll give you another hour." And we'll give you another. So it could essentially be like an 8, 9, 10 hour long storyline with all the downloadable content, which I'm excited about. So I liked it for that aspect. I hope that they tone down the flight missions, because I got better as the game went on with the flying system, but I'm not that great at it. Yeah, and it's actually like discouraging. Me. It's just, it got me to a point at one time where I was just like, you know what? I can't play right now. I got to put it down. Like, I'm somebody who loves to just rush through a game first time through, enjoy it, see what I like. And then if I really, really liked it, I'll go back and do everything.
Yeah.
And this game, while I don't want to go back and do everything, I wanted to hear the story and see the story. And I really enjoyed it for what it was. I hope they build off of this.
So it's going to be one of those games where, like, the DLC comes out, so you're going to begin the game all over again to get the full effect of it.
No. I mean, maybe at the very end. Like, depending on how quickly they come out with the DLC. You know, with it coming out on the 13th of December, it's not like I'm going to forget what happened.
Yeah.
I'll play it. You know, now if the next patch doesn't come out until May or June, then I'm going to be like, okay, maybe I'm going to play it and then, play it through again. And it's only 4 hours, so it's not going to take that long. And I know which ones I could skip.
Yeah.
You know, I can skip the Lando, the Han, the Leia, you know, that kind of stuff I can skip. And that saves me 30 minutes right there, 40 minutes right there. So,
Do you agree with all the grief the game's getting?
Look, they had a lot of crap going on with it, with the heroes and everything like that. I don't. I mean, I expect a game anymore, and I'm not saying this is right, but I expect a game that you have to play to unlock things.
Yeah, now, like that's video games.
I get that it's going to take 2,100 hours or something like that, or 4,000 hours. I can't remember what they said. It was an absurd amount of time to unlock everything. But
isn't that the point of a video game?
That's the point of a video game. Like, if you're going to find a way to keep people playing. That's the idea behind companies. Because, for instance, if they put out a game and you can unlock everything, get everything within the first week, there's no replayability.
Yeah, what's the point of playing it the week after?
You know, like, that's the one thing, and I've always said this, you know, one of my favorite things about the Battlefield series is you're always working towards something. There's always something to work towards. You know, I want this weapon. Well, I got to get so many points. I got to be a certain level. I got to do a certain thing to get to that. Nobody bitch and complain about that with Battlefield 1.
Yeah. No, my thing is, you're going to complain about microtransactions, but then look at GTA 5.
Microtransactions, I'm completely against. This isn't what I'm talking about. Is not microtransactions. I'm talking about playing the game to unlock things. I agree with that. Microtransactions, I do not agree with. I'm not going to say I've never done microtransactions, because I have, but I still disagree with them. I don't think. Look, if I'm paying $60 for a game,
you want it to be
finished. I want it to be finished. And yes, if you want to hide that stuff in the game where I have to unlock it by playing, I'm okay with that. Don't make me pay more money to get that stuff. And number two, don't punish those who don't want to pay it to get it. You know, because, like, if you know, you and I are playing the same game, Colton, and let's say I get to level 30, and like, yes, I it took me 3 weeks. I'm level 30. I got this gun I wanted. And you're like, oh, I'm gonna pick up this game today. Pop it in. You go, I'll pay the extra $5 to get that weapon. Boom, you got it. I'm like, that's bullshit. You know, like, you did nothing, and now you got a god weapon, and it took me 3 weeks to get it, you know?
Well, my thing is, they got rid of the microtransactions, and people are still bitching about it. Like, they got rid of it. They did what you wanted them to do. You're complaining about it. But my thing is, GTA 5, yes, they released all the DLCs for free.
Yeah.
They still have microtransactions, and that's really the only way to get money in GTA 5 online. Is through microtransactions.
I mean, there's other ways in GTA. I mean, there's a whole bunch. So we're not going to get into that. But, I mean, there's other things you can do. It just takes a long time to get it, you know?
But no one says anything about those microtransactions. They're fine.
I think what hurts, and this goes off of the Star Wars a little bit, but I think it really is the Warner Brothers DC thing. Star Wars Battlefront 1 was so divisive and was so bad in some regards that people wanted Star Wars Battlefront 2 to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't amazing. It's not amazing. It's better. It's a lot better than the first game.
Compared to the first one, it's amazing.
But because it's better, they were like, well, we still need to find something to complain about because it's not perfect.
Yeah.
So that's what they did, just like the people do with DC and Warner Brothers. You know, like, you know, those films, they've been good, and they make a better film, and people still find something to bitch about, you know, yeah. because it's the thing to do. And they're doing the same thing here with Star Wars Battlefront. And
but it's they're ridiculous. Doing it to the point where they're destroying EA. Like, EA stock is dropping. Everything's dropping in EA.
And, I mean, but if you want change, I get it. That's what you have to do. You have to do stuff like that. And
but to the point where you destroy a company?
It's not right. No, I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying, like, EA, again, EA should not have done the microtransaction thing. But I don't think what they did was wrong. I mean, every game that they've come out with has had microtransactions. All of a sudden,
exactly.
Nope, we don't want it anymore. I mean, I get it. Yes, enough is enough at a certain point.
Yes.
But why this game?
Exactly.
And I think it's because of they just want to have something to bitch about, because the first one didn't live up to their expectations. This one kind of does, but not completely. And while they can't complain about the same things that they complained about before, they had to find new things to complain about now. That's all.
We'll take a lighter tone here. The game did look beautiful, though.
It is
like
a beautiful
graphic,
game.
Graphically wise.
I will say this.
We'll take a nice tone change there.
I'm sorry, tone's going back to bad, because whoever decided to create the look of Luke Skywalker completely missed the boat. There.
I haven't seen it. But I've heard nothing but bad things.
It's horrible. It does not look like Mark Hamill one bit. The last Battlefront with the hero, he looked like Luke Skywalker. He looked like Mark Hamill. Not perfect. He looked like a video game, but he looked like Mark Hamill. This guy doesn't look anything like Mark Hamill, and it's actually distracting at times. He doesn't sound like Mark Hamill. He doesn't look like Mark Hamill. It's pretty freaking distracting. Han Solo works. Looks like Han Solo. Princess Leia, or General Leia, or whatever she is at this point, Leia, kind of looks like Leia, just has a really big ass. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, you laugh.
Of all things to complain about.
You're going to notice it because it's the
sorry,
first
thing. Sorry, headphone users.
It's the first thing, like, oh, cool. What the heck? Like, she's, like, she baby got back.
Left ass cheeks, Death Star 1. Right ass cheeks, Death Star 2.
I mean, she's got back in this game. So that was a little distracting. Lando looks like Lando.
But, I mean, other than two things, though, like, that game
it's a beautiful is game. Beautiful. Yeah, it's just they messed up with the character designs a little bit, I think.
But, again, with enough backlash, that can be fixed in an update.
It could be, but
you can update Luke's. You know, or just delete them from the game and start from scratch.
Just put a black spot over
and question mark. Like, you still got to unlock them. Give someone something to complain about. So I'll
become a Jedi. I promise you.
Do not defy the Council Master. Not again.
I shall do what I must, Obi-Wan.
If you would just follow the code, you would be on the council. They will not go along with you this time.
You still have much to learn, my young apprentice.
A ship? A cup? A ship? A speeder?
How feel you?
Cold, sir.
Afraid, are you?
No, sir.
See through you. We can.
Be mindful of your feelings.
Your thoughts dwell on your mother.
I miss her.
Afraid to lose her, I think.
What has that got to do with anything?
Everything. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. I sense much fear in you.
But anyway, great quote, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool quote. Totally won't know that we put that in post-production. But last thing here for you. With everything that's going on in Star Wars, what is the thing that excites you the most? Other than the release of Episode 8, because I think that's a pretty obvious thing.
The idea of Rian Johnson's trilogy. Yeah, I think the possibilities with that are so great. I literally cannot wait for it, because it's going to be something completely different that we did not expect that we were going to get. This is, to in my opinion, that'll be the first true, like, George Lucas-less Star Wars that we're getting. Because, you know, while yes, 7, 8, and 9 don't have much of Lucas's fingerprints on it, it's building off of his story.
Yeah.
You know, Han Solo, Rogue One, the Obi-Wan film, is all building off of what Lucas created.
Yeah, the core.
Rian Johnson's trilogy appears to be something completely different, completely off track. Yes, it's going to build off of George Lucas's story and ideas, but they're doing something completely different that we've never would expect, and that's what excites me.
I don't feel excitement anymore.
Aww.
It's going to leave a really long, awkward pause there. No, do you have anything else?
No, I just hope everybody else is excited about what's to come. What are your guys' thoughts on where Rian Johnson's trilogy is going to go? What do you think the TV show is going to be? And what did you think of Star Wars Battlefront 2? Let us know in the comments. Jump on Facebook. Let us know on Facebook. Let us know on Twitter. All the links and stuff are down below. I'm not going to talk them and mention them here because it's annoying to do, and I'm sure you don't want to hear it. So, yeah, just let us know, because the bigger community we have, the more talk we have, the more fun we have. TRC has been great. I've been getting a lot of conversation on Twitter with people, so it's been a lot of fun.
We just got another 80 people on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm the main Twitter user, so if you hit us up on Twitter, you're probably going to get me to respond. So
if you see at WhiteRuby53, that's me. That's my personal account.
But I do the remote control account on Twitter. On our Facebook group, we both run that, as well as we have a couple moderators, Jonathan Phelan, who is with
our,
us,
DC specialist.
We have a moderator, Jordan Thompson. He's a great guy, very knowledgeable with film. He's a huge Star Wars fan also. I'm doing everything I can to get him on a show one of these days, so hopefully he's on soon.
You're really trying to dig him out of like his shell. Get on podcast, airsoft.
And then Rachel Kasparek, she's pretty much our, not local, she lives in Florida, but she's
on
kind
the other
of our,
side of the,
she's kind
country.
Of our Marvel specialist. So if you're a fan of any of those things, jump on our Facebook group, start talking to us, because those people love to talk about all things, whether it's Star Wars, Marvel, DC. I'm a huge movie fan. I can talk movies, music, whatever, as can Colton. So,
and video games. I can talk more video games.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Or just anything weird and creepy. I'll talk with you about anything.
All the links will be down below as I'm pointing down towards the table, because you guys can see me. But
yeah, it's going to be under the table. But yeah, please do follow us on iTunes. Write us a review. Hey, you like us? Give us a 6-star review. I don't know how you're going to find that extra star, but you can put it there.
Yeah, because if you want an awesome, what is it, the pop figure? Is it not a pop figure?
No, it's a pop figure. No, have you ever seen the cat dog one that's like twice the size of that one? It's one of those.
And it's Leia on a speeder bike.
Yes, it's a GameStop exclusive. It's pre-ordered, and we will have it in our possession in 3 days.
Yeah, so...
as of recording.
You know, we're giving it away the week prior to...
The week of
Star Wars Episode 8 releasing. So, like us, review us. If you hate us, review us. It doesn't matter. Just review us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on YouTube?
Yes.
Is that what you want?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's direct some traffic. Like us across everything.
Yeah, you got to like us everywhere. Now, simply, look, if you want to review us on podcasts, on iTunes, that's review us, like us, subscribe to us on iTunes. That's how you get entered in to win this pop figure, right?
Yes.
Okay.
On top of, we're going to pull from everything. If you are added to the Facebook group as of, when will this come out? 11. I'm going to try to start releasing these on like Fridays. 11, whenever Friday is, 24th. 11/24 to, I'll run it till December. I'm literally just making this up as I go. December, or from 11/24 to
11/10.
11/10. Or 12/10.
12/10.
And we will announce it on TRC, because that's the only show that will come out before Star Wars.
Well, no, we're going to release Star Wars. Well, I think what we should do is release that episode
Wednesday, so
it'll be released
early. You'll find out that Wednesday if you won the pop figure. But we'll pull if you were added to the group during those dates. You subscribe to the YouTube channel.
And review us on YouTube. Just review one of our shows or leave a comment. Just say, hey, I heard it. You know,
Us any interaction, you're automatically entered.
Yeah, any interaction on anything. But we want you to subscribe everywhere. Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play.
And you have to
stay
subscribed. You can't subscribe and then like immediately leave.
That's not cool.
Like long enough for us to get the notification, then you're gone.
Come on, guys. You're cool than that.
That's ignorant.
And then, you know, email us if you have any questions. We want to hear from you. We want to talk to you. So let us know.
Yeah. But with that being said, it's been real. It's been cool. It's been your host, Colton. And with me is my ever so lovely guest, Bob.
Guest.
Sorry, my ever so lovingly Gungan.
Moi moi, it's me, Bob.
And this has been Star Wars Talk. May the Force be with you. Da, 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 da.